And when we talk about prayer, or when we talk about the garden of prayer and gardening and outdoor things, we've talked already about keeping the ground tender, as likened to keeping our hearts tender and soft and workable, allowing the Lord to work in our hearts, and confessing sin as soon as it shows up, pulling those weeds as soon as they show up. And then we talked about those pesky weeds and the parable of the seed and the sower. Jesus likened the weeds to, or the thorns and the weeds to what? You remember? Not sin, what we usually think of them as, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Remember that. I'm going to mention that again a little later. And then dealing with those pests. They must be dealt with. They won't just go away. And they're not easy to deal with. If you see the corn, you'll see that they're not always easy to deal with. And just like walking with God, there's no shortcuts with walking with God. There's no easy way to walk with God. It's a battle. It's a struggle. Every time you win a battle, I can guarantee you the next battle is going to be a little stronger. You're going to need a little bit more grace for the next battle. You overcome that one, the next one, you're going to need a little bit more grace to overcome that. If you lose one, you're in big trouble the next time one comes around. And you just need to keep trusting in God and walking with Him. And it never gets... I remember talking to my pastor years ago, and he pastored the church for, I don't know, at that time, 50 years or so. And he was going through a church split. He had some folks, some key people in the church turn against him. And I thought, Pastor, you've been here all these years. I thought, those things don't happen. I said, no, you never get over those struggles. That's just a part of the ministry. And that's just a part of the reality of... And it's the same with walking with God. When we talk about the harvest, let's read the verse up here. Most of you know it already. Galatians 6:7. Read it with me. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. How many of you say that without looking? A few of you can. Let's say it together. Let's do this. Let's hide that from you, okay? Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. Good job. And we're going to talk about that verse for a little. Is that the right reference, 6:7? Okay, because I was working on 7, 8, 9. So, but Galatians 6. Now, let me just... Now, this is probably something that I know I'm dealing with something that you understand, but I've got to have some fun here, all right? I got some tomatoes here that are rotten. I'm going to see if we catch them. All right? No, I don't really. But you know that if you put certain kinds of seed in the ground, if you plant corn seed, you're going to come up with... sorry, I don't wash these things off till I use them, so I think you wipe it off even. If you plant corn, you're going to come up with one of these, right? What is that? Do you know? Squash. That's spaghetti squash. Oh, this is the greatest spaghetti noodles you'll ever have. And that's spaghetti squash. And this is, I'm not sure what that thing is. It just showed up. What is that? A butternut squash. Yeah, I know what it is. Actually, I got a bunch of butternut in the food pantry. I'm going to save a couple of those seeds. And man, that thing went crazy. I've got them everywhere. I don't think it's quite ripe yet. Anybody want to try it? Right, I got coconut. See if any juice comes out of it. If you plant the seed for those things, that's what you're going to come up with. I didn't even bring one of these. They're downstairs. I've got some downstairs. I was going to bring a summer squash. A lot of people don't know what that is. They got kind of a long neck. If they get too big, they make a cool flamingo if you put them on a stick. People think you got a flamingo standing in your yard, but it's too big to eat then. And this is a zucchini that I was gone for a couple of days, and it was too small when I left, but now it's too big. Now, some people pick them this big. Some people wait till they get this long. Look at this, I got us a baseball bat. Yeah, it should have been picked a week ago, but some people like them that big, but that's a zucchini. If you plant a zucchini seed, what are you going to get? A corn stalk, right? You get what you sow. And we've got all kinds of things here that, oh, here we go. Oh, boy. I brought a little one because I couldn't eat the whole thing. And I'm not sure what's in this one. The bug's dead now. And this is corn. And this is good. You know how you know the corn is good? It's good. You want some while I choke on it? It's good. It doesn't have to be cooked, but I don't think. What? Those little worms crawling around me. Oh, here comes one out my nose, man. Sometimes it makes a good snack there. And my sister gave me cucumbers with the lunch. And I don't eat cucumbers. This is Larry Boy. These are just little cucumbers. In fact, that's actually a little bigger. I grew these just to make pickles. I can't. Some things, they just don't agree with me anymore, and cucumbers are one of those things. And my sister promised these are burpless cucumbers, and they were, I think, unless riding my bike got rid of it all. But there's a bunch of cucumbers, and I just grew some to make some pickles. But if you plant a seed, and these seeds, it's amazing. They said they were going to be little cucumbers, and they were. But if you let them grow too big, then they're not little anymore. I just want to get these because I'm kind of hungry. These are only two. What are those? Cat. They're snacks. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day when I was weeding things, and I eat a tomato, but what you plant, I planted a tomato next to that one. Got these. No, you plant a pepper seed, and you're going to get tomatoes, right? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. We understand that principle, but let's look at that a little bit. And again, I'm not an expert. I have always enjoyed gardening, and I enjoy it especially since I've been saved. That's my favorite place, one of my favorite places to pray. Another one is when I'm out in the woods somewhere. But I enjoy those things, and I'm not an expert. As I said earlier, I'm a frustrated organic gardener. I'm going to have to break down and start using some chemicals or something, or eat more bugs while they're on things or something. I'm not sure which. But we do, and we understand this when it comes to the harvest. We're talking about the harvest tonight. I've got some things I want to give you concerning the harvest. I was going to bring a watermelon, but we only had one ripe so far, and we ate it. So I'm going to share it with you. We'll have a lot of them to share later, but in fact, there's something I want to talk to you concerning melons. I got some other cantaloupe too. But we do get what we plant. The first thing about the harvest, we understand this, and that's a pretty simple principle. We get what we plant. Vegetables don't generally grow in the wild. Now, there are some things that grow in the wild. I snacked on some of them this week. A lot of them, I wouldn't want to necessarily make a whole meal out of them. I know enough how to survive on things, but that's about as far as I want to go. Unless I'm in a situation where I run out of peanut butter and jelly, that's what I bring just in case. And I didn't even have to eat all of it. I would bring some peanut butter and jelly just in case I don't find enough things to eat. But I did have a few of them for breakfast just to have some energy to keep up with my activities. But we do generally get what we plant as long as it's cared for. We'll come back to that one in a little bit. And then there's always undesirables, which we talked about them last week. Those pests, those weeds, the undesirables, the weeds, the pests, they show up on their own. Just like our sin nature, it shows up on our own. Now remember that. You know, you don't have to plant weeds, but they always show up. Isn't it amazing? There's always more weeds than there is stuff that you planted. But I didn't plant them. Where'd they come from? A little bird told me. A little bird did it. Or somebody did it. Or they just came up from last year. We don't have to sin to become a sinner. We already are sinners. And we sin because we are sinners. Our hearts are deceived, and our hearts are deceitful and easily deceived. The undesirables, and Jesus talked about the thorns in the parable of the seed and the sower, the thorns that come up, which are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Not necessarily the sins, but those things that just keep coming up. You know, I would like to pray, but at the end of the day, I'm too tired to pray. I would like to go tell somebody about Jesus, but I just don't have the time to do that. I would like to go to church, but I've got to work on Sunday. I would like to do, you know, the deceitfulness, the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches can very easily crowd us out from doing what God wants us to do. The undesirables, they just come in, it's just a part of our nature. The sin. I don't know why I do this. I just can't help myself from doing it. I don't want to do it. I struggle with it, and we struggle with it our whole life. Paul struggled with it still in Romans chapter number 7 as a mature Christian. The undesirables, they come on their own. Now, this is what I want to spend a little bit of time on this evening, and that is Galatians 6 teaches us much more than what most of the time we've heard this verse preached on. Most of the time you've heard somebody preach on this verse. Bless God, if you make fun of God, God's going to strike you dead. One day you're going to wake up dead one day. That's I like that in the Old Testament. That's one of my life verses. They woke up dead corpses. One day you're going to wake up a dead corpse because you deceived God. You sowed sin. You lived in sin. And boy, we preach hard on that. And that's good. But that's really not all that that verse is teaching. I think that we sometimes fail to realize that. I'm going to just give you a couple things here, and I'm not going to be able to write everything down just because there's not space. I wish, and we're going to come back to this in Galatians when we get to it in chapter number 6. But I'm just really looking at this one verse, but I want to put it in its proper context quickly. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. And 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about that, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, to some people, that means take this out of the Bible and put that back in the Bible. Or, no, that really doesn't belong in the Bible. That, and you read some commentators, and it's like, it gets kind of confusing. Well, this verse really isn't there, and all that silliness that sometimes you just have to overlook. Man's ignorance on some of these things, but to rightly divide the word of truth means to take everything in its proper context. And if we read history, you need to put history in its proper context. Things that we understand today. I was just talking to my sister the other day, and she was talking about a museum. It's actually a brewery that has a museum. She said she doesn't drink any more than I do, even though she's not a born-again believer. She has no use for alcohol and really never has, just because that's the way we were brought up, and some of us held on to that as adults. But this brewery is kind of funny because they have all the old commercials that were ever made concerning liquor. And some of them are hilarious. And it's just like, I think Jim DeLotel gave me some cassette tapes of old radio shows. And they have all the old commercials. And the same thing with cigarette commercials on there. This is the cigarette that doctors recommend. This cigarette will give you energy and encourage and strengthen your health. And oh yeah, that's the way they used to advertise them. But anyway, that's worth going to that museum just for that reason. I don't really care to go there. But put in its proper context, you understand the times that when you read history, when we see the Word of God, we need to be careful not to handle the Word of God deceitfully that Paul talks about. For example, and when I was growing up, the church that I grew up in would often quote Mark 16:16. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." There it is. You need to believe and get baptized. You get baptized as a baby and you believe. They just put it in reverse order. You get baptized as a baby and you get believe, and you believe when you repeat certain words at confirmation, just like some folks that are out soul winning. You repeat some certain words and say a prayer and you're saved. Oh, wait a minute. He that believeth and is baptized, there it is. You got to believe and be baptized. But after I got saved and started reading the Bible for myself, I realized the rest of the verse says, but he that believeth not is condemned. It doesn't say he that believeth not and is baptized not, but believing is what constitutes salvation when you read the whole verse. Psalm 14 says, there is no God. What? We've been reading the Bible this whole time and there is no God? The Bible says there is no God. When somebody quotes the Bible, that doesn't necessarily impress me. There is no God. The whole psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we need to rightly divide. And other examples, I know I use these once in a while, and they make good preaching, but they're not biblically correct, and it's not in the right context to use them this way, though it's not anti-biblical, and they make a good point. For example, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's good, we got to have a vision. Let's have a goal, let's have a desire. We're going to go that way where there is no vision. We're the church of the vision. We've got a vision, we're going to do this. You read that proverb, that's not what that proverb is saying. In fact, if you just look up the word vision, you'll find out that it's talking about a sure word, a vision from God. A sure word of God. We could say where there is no vision or sure, and that word used vision all throughout the Old Testament as a sure word of God. I've got a vision from God. Where there is no sure word of God, the people perish. And the rest of verse number 18 says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It's talking about the word of God. If we don't have the surety of the word of God, all that's left for us is to perish. Another verse, and I know some folks I know have claimed this for their life verse, but it's really not saying what we preach on, but it makes good preaching. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Well, that's talking about heaven. Well, that's good preaching on heaven. That verse has nothing to do with heaven, though it fits with heaven. That is true about heaven. That's not what that verse, if you read the whole chapter, in fact, just the next verse, will tell you, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. It's talking about the difference between a lost person that can't understand biblical principles, that can't see faith and understand what grace is all about because they're not saved. But when we have the Holy Spirit in us, God has revealed them to us. And we've not understood it by our eyes, by our ears, by our natural understanding, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. That's what that whole chapter is about. Though it's good preaching, it's just not the proper use of the Bible. Now, I say all that just because oftentimes we look at Galatians and we make it such a surface issue. This is not a verse that tells us, bless God, you just need to do right. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. You're doing the wrong thing, you're sowing bad seed, and God's going to destroy you. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we often hear people use that and preach, and I've used it that way myself. Well, bless God, I need some more character. I need to just do right. Or that's what Bob Jones said, but Nike says, just do it. Just do right. Do right. We need more character. We need more discipline. We need more determination. We get the idea sometimes, and lost people see this, and I want to show you what this verse is saying. In fact, if you put it in the context of the entire book of Galatians, I'm going to do that very quickly in a nutshell, and we're going to come back to study this. I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Galatians, and it's never been as clear to me. I just don't have time to expound on all of this, but sometimes we say, well, the devil's on this shoulder and God's on this shoulder, and they're both whispering in my ear, and I got to decide which one I'm going to listen to. Well, that's Hinduism is what that is, where that comes from. But we accept that, or the angel of God and the angel of the devil or whatever on the shoulder, I just need to do what's right. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. what God is talking about in the book of Galatians, especially in this final chapter of Galatians, what he's led up to in this chapter is the battle within our soul between, for us as Christians, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, which he defined just a few verses before in chapter number 5. The works of the flesh, which is the undesirable that comes up on our own. The weeds, the cares of this world, the habitual sins, the struggles that we have. In fact, a list is given in chapter number 5, the works of the flesh, and they're not very pretty things, but those are what's inside of us. And that's the struggle between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter number 5, it talks about the liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He's made us free from living the Christian life on our own, is what Galatians is all about. Well, bless God, you just need to do right. You just need to do the right thing. Problem is, I can't do the right thing without God's grace, because I have a sin nature that's stronger than my willpower. And my sin nature will defeat me every time apart from the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, but then Jesus said before that, without me you can do what? Nothing. Nothing of any value without God's help, without God's grace. In fact, I find that the book of Galatians, the entire book, is a commentary on one phrase in John, I want to say 6:63, where Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we'll come back to that. I was going to preach on that Sunday. I just pull it off the top of my head here, but we'll preach on that maybe this Sunday. But the liberty at Galatians 5:1 is talking about the battle that's within our soul. The freedom and liberty is not the same as freedom. We talk about that in patriotic days usually. Liberty is what? Some of you always give me the right answer and I say, liberty's the difference between liberty and freedom. Freedom is doing what you want. Liberty is freedom with responsibility. If you're free, you can do whatever you want to. Christ didn't set us free, He made us free. He gave us the ability now to do what God intended us to do through His grace. That's what Galatians is all about. How I can be free in Christ, free to live the way God intends me to live, and it's not myself that does it, it's the grace of God working in me, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me go over a couple other things here. In Galatians 6, we looked at verse number 7, and I'm in the wrong page here. I keep turning pages back. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And verse number 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life ever after, everlasting. And we're talking here about sowing to the flesh, giving in to the flesh or the Spirit. This is what chapter 5 and verse number 16 is talking about, walking in the Spirit. It's the crucified life. It's the Spirit-filled life. It's the life of victory when we learn to weed out the flesh but sow in the Spirit. Not to the Spirit, but in the Spirit. I wish I had more time to go into that. It's walking in grace. Look at Galatians 5 and verse number 4. Galatians 5, and I'm just pulling a couple of verses that kind of focus on this a little bit. Christ is become a no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, oftentimes I've heard people preach that believe that you can lose your salvation. Bless God, they fell from grace. In other words, they're not saved anymore. You know what it means to fall from grace? That means I'm trusting in myself instead of trusting in His grace. I can't live the Christian life on myself. I can only do it through Christ. It means the same for salvation and it does for sanctification. In fact, the church in Galatia when you find out when this was written, it was after Paul's first missionary journey, when he came back and defended salvation by grace and not no works involved in salvation. And not only are there no works involved in salvation, there are no works involved in sanctification. You see, the church in Galatia, they understood that we're saved by grace, but now that we're saved, we've got to work harder to be better Christians. We've got to learn how to live the Spirit-filled life. We've got to learn how to love. We've got to learn how to give. We've got to learn how to be gracious. We've got to learn how to be kind and loving. No, you just learn how to walk in grace, and God will take care of those things. Back in Galatians chapter number 3, and this is my favorite verses in this whole book, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Were you saved by works or by faith? Let me ask you, were you saved by works or by faith? By faith. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or complete or mature by the flesh?" You see, we're dealing with something that we as Christians in our mind need to make sure that we have it settled. For so many years, I tried to live the Christian life the way it's expected of me. I remember going off to Bible college and folks would complain, you know, the backslidden students would complain about these rules and those rules. And I said, "Man, I want the rules. I want somebody to tell me what to do as a Christian. I'm a baby in Christ. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I want to know what I'm supposed to do." And that was the attitude I had. But then I realized, you know, I'm living the Christian life by finding out what the rules are and obeying those rules, instead of walking in God's grace. Grace is God doing, and I found out that I was frustrated because I could do those rules on the outside, but on the inside there was things that I struggled with because I was just trying to do them on my own. Just do right. Just do it. That didn't work without the grace of God. Grace, this is a book that a quote that I came across. I had to at least read that chapter to find this quote in it. "Grace means that God does something for me. The law in Galatians means that I do something for God. Not only for salvation, but for sanctification. Grace means God does it. The law means I do it. In grace, Christ has done the work." Amen? Now we understand that for salvation. He's done the work. We simply need to thank Him, claim it, accept Him for salvation. We're good at that, but what about when it comes to sanctification? Setting ourselves apart, living a life that we're supposed to live. In grace, Christ has done the work. We say, "Well, God, I need to crucify myself. I need to crucify myself." And before long, we're whipping ourselves and crawling on our knees on ashes and shards of glass and everything else and doing all these things. "God, I need to do this." No, then it becomes works instead of grace. Grace is just simply accepting. You know, this is something that I shared with Sunday school class a while ago. For those of you who are in Sunday school, you remember this. The Bible always says, "I am crucified." That was our memory verse from Sunday school. "I am crucified with Christ." It's always, I'm already crucified. I don't have to crucify myself. I don't have to learn to crucify. I am crucified. I'm already dead. I am dead in Christ. And now I am alive in Christ. It's Him living in me. It's not me saying, "Oh, if I could just die to myself, if I could just flog myself a little bit more, if I could just do this." No, just accept the fact that when He died on the cross, I died with Him. When He rose from the dead, I rose with Him. I just need to claim that promise. I don't have to beg for it over and over again. It's already given to me. And just like salvation is given to us free through faith in God's grace, sanctification is given to us the same way. Now, that sounds too easy to be true for a lot of folks. And I've said, when God first showed me this in Bible college, the older I get, the more I begin to understand it. in the book of Philippians, the most important word I found in Bible college was a three-letter word, L-E-T. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I don't have to make it. I don't have to do this and do that and then be conformed to this. I just let Christ take control of my life. And he that soweth, if we're feeding the flesh, you know, we say, well, boy, I'd sure like to have some squash growing in my garden. Maybe I need to put more seeds down here. Maybe I need to pull more weeds. But I don't put the seed in the ground. Am I sowing to the Spirit or am I sowing to the flesh? Am I sowing to my... I'm not sure what this seed is. I sure hope it's a seed and a tomato plant comes up. Well, that's not right. We sow in the flesh, we're going to reap in the flesh. Now, look at verse number... Galatians chapter 5. I don't know why I keep turning back one page. Chapter number 9, because I guess keep going back in Galatians. Chapter number 6 and verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well doings, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not in trusting God's grace, not faint not in our works, but faint not in God's grace. The seed, remember, is the Word of God. In the parable of the seed of sower, there's nothing wrong with the seed. We've got good seed. Now, I've got something else with me here that I thought I'm going to bring up here. Hey, it's the wrong time of year for that, isn't it? Well, no, not really, because we've got enough time in the growing season yet to do these. The perfect seed, these are cabbage seeds that is planted last week. I've still got enough time to grow some cabbage heads because I need more sauerkraut for my addiction. So, do you guys have that yet? Is that any good? Mm-hmm. But the seed is the Word of God. The perfect seed is planted, and soon it becomes a seedling by faith and grace. And there's salvation. It's a seedling. I ain't going to eat no cabbage off of this tomorrow. It's going to take some nurturing. It's going to take some growing. I don't have to make it grow. God does the growing. I just need to care for it and keep it in a place where it's going to grow and make sure it has room to grow. The plant must be nurtured and protected from the elements, from the weeds, and from the pests. It's like I need to protect myself for the natural man. The weeds and the pests that keep coming up that are just there. There will be an abundant harvest if it's protected and put in a place where it can grow. And that's what God's saying in verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't say, you know, if you neglect the garden for a couple of weeks and the weeds take over and you finally go back, and what do you normally do? Forget this. Be a Cubs fan. Wait till next year. We'll do it again next year. We'll do it better next year. And next year comes and it's the same old thing. Just like the Cubs. Nobody really follows baseball in here because we live too close to the Cubs, I guess. But wait till next year. We just throw up our hands. Forget it. We only get one chance here in our life. I need to nurture and realize that it's by grace, through faith, that seed comes up. And now I need to make sure that my flesh stays out of the way, that I claim the crucifixion of Christ, that I claim His grace to give me victory and keep the pests and the weeds, the desires of my flesh, the things that I want, keep them out of the way and let God work in me. And as long as this continues, there will be an abundant harvest. And I've been around long enough to know that sometimes that harvest doesn't even come in our lifetime. But we just stay true to God. But we lay the groundwork and the foundation. We trust God to just let Him lead and guide us. He does the work. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to do everything on our own. We'll trust Him. to do it. That seed is the Word of God. And that from that seed, Jesus talked about the seed of a grain of a mustard seed. And that seed continues to grow. And we continue to keep the weeds at bay. And trust and look to that seed and watch that seed grow into a plant until the harvest comes. We don't have to, you know, we don't say, well, we didn't get anything from it. I remember when I led my little sister to the Lord, that I told my buddy about it Saturday when we were out soul winning. I got to lead my sister to the Lord last night. And Sunday morning came, and him and I got on the bus together. He said, "Your sister coming to church today?" I said, "No, she must not have really got saved, because she not even come to Sunday, the first Sunday after she got saved." And he said, "Give her time. It's just a little seedling. It grows eventually." And eventually she did come to church and begin to grow in the Lord. Went off to Bible college and married a good Christian man years ago. But thank the Lord for that seed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are we going to sow the seed of the Word of God in our life? And by the way we grow in the Spirit is putting the seed of the Word of God in our hearts. The seed is the good Word of God. And we plant that seed, and we can't get enough of that seed. And the more we plant, the more we put into our heart and our life, the more God germinates and the more God uses in our life. When we just keep the pests away and allow that seed to grow by giving ourselves to the Word of God. And that's why God stirred in my heart to start this school of the Bible, because God's people, including myself, need more of the Bible. We just need to dig into the Bible. I can't get enough of the Bible. I can't even tell you how many times in just the past month I've read the book of Galatians, because the number of books I've been reading that keep pointing to the things in the book of Galatians, that, man, there's so much there in that book. And walking by faith and not by our works of the flesh. Father, I pray.